You can open your copy of God's Word now to Hebrews chapter 13. This morning we come to verses 17 to 19. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 17, hear once again God's word. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. And Lord, add his blessing to the reading and now the preaching of his holy word. Passages like the one we come to this morning are always a bit awkward for a preacher or pastor to preach to his flock. And I'm sure you can understand why that might be. It can come across as a bit self-serving for a pastor to preach a sermon about how the sheep of the flock should obey and be submissive to their pastors and elders. But when you think about it, given the awkwardness and the reticence that some pastors might have to preach on passages like this, it really goes to show why it's good and why it's healthy for pastors to preach through whole books of the Bible, verse by verse. And I say this because, like many pastors, left to myself, I probably wouldn't voluntarily choose to preach on a passage like this one because of the awkward nature of it. But you see, when we preach and teach through whole books of the Bible, verse by verse, it forces us to take up subjects that would likely be left untouched for the most part, which really is not an option for one who has been called by the Lord to preach and to teach the whole counsel of God. So in the Lord's good and in his perfect and wise providence, we come to this passage this morning where the preacher says the following to the congregation. Verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Now, given that this is the timeless word of God, we know that this is a message for all times. But it's a message that is desperately needed in our time. We live in a day and in an age where it's quite common to not only question, but to rebel against all forms of authority in our lives. Now, granted, part of the reason behind so much of this apprehension to trust and to respect and to obey authority has to do with the fact that of the many ways in which authority and those in authority have been abused. Now, people have abused their positions of authority. We don't have to look very far to find examples of political leaders, of judges, of policemen and priests and pastors and elders and bosses and parents and teachers who abuse their positions in such a way that even the most trusting among us find ourselves struggling to submit to those whom the Lord has placed over us in this life. But just because there are people who abuse their authority doesn't mean then that we're exempt from obeying and submitting to all who are in lawful positions of authority over us. Even though it's hard at times, God's word tells us that we are to obey and to submit and to be subject to those who are in positions of authority over us, not least of which are those who have been called by the Lord to serve as pastors and elders within the body of Christ. We just read as much from verse 17 of our text, but this isn't the only passage that touches on this duty that we owe to our pastors and elders. The Apostle Paul in verse Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verses 12 and 13, he says there, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." Now you'll notice that there's something implied, isn't there? Something implied in all of these passages. Each passage presumes. It presumes that a formal relationship exists between those in leadership and those within the flock. In our passage from Hebrews, again, it's put like this: obey those who rule over you and be submissive. The relationship, you see, is between rulers in the church and those whom they are to rule over or to oversee. In the passage from 1 Thessalonians, again, he put it like this: recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And of course, in 1 Peter, once again, says, submit yourselves to your elders. So the scriptures presume then a formal relationship between sheep and shepherds, or under shepherds, as we might call them. And this is yet another important point that the people of our day and age need to hear, or desperately need to hear. You see, not only do we live in a time when it's common for people to fail to respect and fail to submit to legitimate authority, but we also live in a time when many who call themselves Christians think that they don't need to formally belong to a particular church body. This is a very common problem, very common thing that is believed and held to by many Christians today. Many Christians today think that they should be able to come and to go however they please, that they don't have to become members of any particular congregation. Some of them think this way because they believe that church membership isn't biblical, that it isn't scriptural. Some reject it because they think it smacks of Roman Catholicism. And others reject it because they've adopted that popular motto which says, "Me and my Bible is all that I need to be a Christian." This is a very popular opinion in our day. But the ironic thing about people who reject church membership on the basis that they don't think it's biblical, and who at the same time think that all that they need is their Bible, is that the very Bible that they claim to hold in such high esteem is the very same Bible that teaches the importance of having this formal relationship between sheep and under shepherds. You know, an early church father by the name of Cyprian said it well. Writing on the subject of the unity of the church, he said, "No one can have God as his father who does not have the church for his mother." Now, like many doctrines that we hold to, we won't find a particular passage in the scriptures that puts it so plainly as this, in the words of, "Thou must be a member of the church." You're not going to find that line anywhere in the Bible. But even so, it's easy to show that when we study the Bible as a whole, we find that doctrine clearly affirmed and taught. We've already seen how the previous passages presume this relationship, right? After all, how can we submit? How can we submit or obey our pastors or elders if we don't belong to a particular flock? How do you do this? You can't. If you're not a member of a particular flock, how can you submit to your elders and pastors? Surely it's not right, when you think about it, it's not right to think that all pastors and all elders have this position of authority over all believers, whether they are members or not. That ain't the right way to apply this. In the same way that wives aren't called upon to submit to all men as their husbands, so is it also the case that all sheep are not required to submit to all other pastors and all other elders. Furthermore, think about this for a moment. On what basis would anybody feel compelled to heed the counsel of pastors or elders if they weren't members of the flock? What would compel them to take heed to the counsel offered and given? You see, if somebody wasn't a member and they fell into some gross sin that they were being called to account for or being counseled about, they could simply just ignore the counsel and ignore the admonition, ignore the rebukes without any fear of coming under church discipline. You don't like what the pastors and elders are telling you about this particular singer? Well, then just leave. You can just leave. No questions asked, right? See, one of the three marks of the church, church discipline, goes out the door if there is no such thing as formal church membership. It doesn't make sense otherwise. Rebellious churchgoers can just ignore pastors and elders, and should they desire, they can just move on to the next church if things become too uncomfortable for them in the church they're attending. If they get called on the carpet about some particular sin, they just move on to another church where they can begin afresh and act like there's nothing wrong. And this is a common experience, especially in light of so many megachurches not having any formal church membership. And also think about Matthew 18 for just a moment as well. We're told in that passage that whenever a believer is confronted by another believer for some sin, that if that person won't listen to them, don't listen to the one confronting them, then that person, he or she, is to go and get two or three others to go with them and confront the one who has allegedly committed the sin. And then the passage goes on to say that if that person still won't listen, even with all those witnesses, then the next step is to tell the matter to the church. Well, telling the matter to the church is to tell it to the elders of the church. And how can this be done if a person isn't a member of any particular church? How would one know which elders to tell the matter to if you've come to that point with somebody else? They wouldn't. You see, the passage becomes meaningless, as do the others that have been mentioned, if there's no such thing as formal church membership. The Apostle Paul, in light of the church discipline case that took place in Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, with regard to the one who had been found guilty of sin, to put such a person out. That's what the church was told. Put the person out. Deliver them over to Satan. Put them out of the church. Excommunicate the person, insofar as they remain obstinate and unrepentant in their sin. Well, how does one get put out of something if they don't formally belong to it in the first place? Doesn't make sense. How is anybody to know that such a person has been put out if they didn't first belong? You see. Now, it's important to note that the Lord didn't only set elders in the church for the purpose of carrying out church discipline, as important as that is, but that he has also provided pastors and elders for the nourishment and the protection, you see, of the sheep. In fact, this is the first of the three reasons that our preacher gives as to why we should obey and submit to our pastors and elders. Look again at verse 17. He says, we are to do this because they watch out for our souls. That's one of the reasons he gives for why we submit. It's because they watch out for our souls as those who must give account. You see, we need to understand that overseers are actually a blessing to the church. Pastors and elders are given to the church to care for the church and to provide for her with the teaching and preaching and oversight and even the order that the church so desperately needs. And we know this because Jesus is the one who made this provision for his bride. This is a gift that comes from Jesus himself. Listen to what we read in Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning at verse 8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, this is speaking of the ascension of Jesus Christ, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You'll notice how pastors and teachers are referred to as those who have been set apart by Jesus to be a blessing to the church, by equipping her, ministering to her, and edifying her. And isn't it interesting that his giving these gifts to men is directly tied to his ascension? Indeed, these gifts are given so that the church can be taken care of while Jesus is away in heaven. Pastor Williams taught us recently about the ascension of Christ at a recent Bible study. And in that study, he gave a helpful illustration that's tied directly to the ascension of Jesus and this particular gifting to his church. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he used the example of what happens when parents leave their older kids at home while the parents go away for a night or go away on vacation or something like this. And he noted how that when parents go away for a time, how it is that prior to their leaving, they will run through all the things that they have prepared for their children while they are away. For example, parents might say to their kids before they leave, they might say, okay, now there's food in the oven for tonight. It just needs to be warmed up. And then there are more frozen meals in the freezer for the next coming days. There are also some snacks in the pantry, water, of course, in the Berkey, and so forth and so on. We might also even give them instructions like, keep the doors locked. Don't answer the door to strangers. Brush your teeth before bed. Don't stay up too late. And if you have any emergencies that come up, call Mrs. Smith down the street and she will help you. See, the parents leave their children with what they need while the parents are away. And likewise, when Jesus left the earth, when he ascended to heaven, he not only sent the Holy Spirit to his people, but he also gave gifts to men by that Holy Spirit in order to provide his church with what we would need to be built up, to be cared for and protected, by providing the church with men whom he would gift to be shepherds of his sheep. We read the following in 1 Peter chapter 5. The Apostle Peter says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The Lord gave the church pastors and elders to care for, to nourish, and to protect his sheep. And this is exactly what pastors and elders are to do. It's what we've been commissioned to do by the Lord himself. Think just for a moment what Jesus said to Peter after he had fallen. You recall that after Peter had fallen, how when he was restored by Jesus, one of the things that Jesus told Peter was, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." You see, pastors are to be shepherds to the sheep, caring for them and providing for them, providing nourishment for them and protecting them. The Apostle Peter, or Paul, we read this earlier in our service, I'll just read a couple of verses from that passage, but when he was leaving the church at Ephesus, he gathered the elders together there, and he left them with these words. He said to them, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after themselves. Therefore," he says, "watch." So one of the reasons the preacher gives for why sheep should obey and submit to their pastors and elders is because it's for their own good to do so. They watch out for your souls. Pastors and elders, you see, are gifts to the bride by the bridegroom. They are a gift to the bride. And these gifts are intended to be a help and a blessing. And they prove to be, don't they, when we submit and obey them as we're told to do in the scripture. We see the blessing in it when things function the way that they should, right? Now, when it comes to the authority of the pastors and the elders, it's important for us to note that this authority is not an absolute or unqualified authority in the sense that we must all obey all that we are told implicitly or with blind obedience. That's not what we're told to do. That's not the kind of obedience that is owed to men. That kind of obedience is owed only to God, right? Implicit, blind obedience. You do what the Lord says, regardless if you understand why he's telling you to do it or the reasons for it. You just do what he tells you to do. Not so when it comes to obeying men. Okay? All other authority and obedience is subject to God's authority and must be rendered in light of his word. Obedience is to be rendered in light of God's word. We know that all men, pastors and elders included, all men are sinners, and they are subject to sin and error. And so the obedience we are to render to our pastors and elders is an obedience that must be qualified by the fact that we're to obey them only insofar as what they're telling us to do doesn't go against what the scriptures teach us. That it doesn't go against what the Lord tells us to do. Our ultimate authority is God. Our ultimate authority is God and what he's revealed to us in his holy word. If a pastor or an elder tells us or counsels us to do something that we know is contrary to the word of God, then we are to obey God rather than men. His word is central in all of this, isn't it? You see, Hebrews 13 goes on to say that part of our submission to our shepherds, or under-shepherds, includes receiving what they are teaching us from God's word. Look at verse 22 of chapter 13. After telling us here in these passages to obey our church leaders, he goes on to say this in verse 22, and he says, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." He's talking about this letter that has been inspired by the scripture, by the Holy Spirit. Bear with this word of exhortation. In other words, he's saying, you obey these things because this is God's word. And so we're to receive God's word as it's taught by God's servants. And of course, that doesn't mean that something is true and should automatically be received just because it came from the mouth of your pastor or elder. Every Christian has the duty to study the scriptures to see if what is being taught comes from the Bible. Every sheep has the duty to be able to discern and to recognize the voice of the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And hearing his voice, even as it's heard through the voice of mere men, we then have a duty to receive his word and to heed it. Insofar as the preaching of the word is what God's word truly teaches, the preached word of God is the word of God, and we ought to receive it in that fashion. We're to respect and to submit in the Lord to those whom the Lord has set apart to be our overseers. This is what the scriptures plainly teach. And it's the very basis for one of the membership vows that we take when we become members of this church, isn't it? You recall what the fourth vow of church membership says. It reads in part, "Do you promise to submit in the Lord to the teaching and government of this church as being based upon the scriptures and described in substance in the constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America?" In that vow, it goes on to say, "In case you should need correction in doctrine or life, do you promise to respect the authority and discipline of the church?" You see, this vow that we take is directly tied, directly connected to what the scriptures teach us concerning our duty to submit in the Lord to our pastors and elders. And this is important for us to understand. You see, becoming a member of a particular congregation is an important matter. It's something that we all ought to do, and when we do so, we ought to take our vows seriously. These are vows that we make before the Lord. And in these vows, we are promising to submit and to obey and to respect those who are our pastors and elders. And so for this reason, whom we elect to be our pastors and elders is extremely important, because these are the men that we're vowing to submit to and to obey in the Lord. So anytime an election comes up for officers in the church, you need to think about that. Is this a man who is godly? Is this a man who knows the word? Is this a man I can submit myself to as an overseer of my soul? You see, in our vows, we're not vowing to just submit to our pastors and elders when they make decisions or offer us counsel that we like or that we happen to agree with. We're vowing to submit in the Lord not on the basis of our personal preferences, but on the basis that we believe the Lord has set them apart for the good of our souls. Now, we may not agree with the decision of the elders to do this or to do that, but so long as the decision that they've made is not a sinful one, we're to accept the decision without grumbling and without complaining about it. Our submission is to be respectful, you see, meaning that we ought not to go around expressing our disapproval of decisions that the elders have made or any other aspects of the ministry that they do. We're not to do that. That kind of behavior is very displeasing to the Lord. It's very displeasing to the Lord. Recall what happened to Miriam. Recall what happened to Miriam and to Aaron for their grumbling and complaining against the leadership of Moses. And interestingly, while Moses didn't allow it to bother him, we know that it bothered the Lord. It displeased the Lord so much so that he struck Miriam with leprosy. That's how much it displeased the Lord. And a similar, but an even greater manifestation of God's displeasure is recounted in Numbers chapter 16 with the sons of Korah, who also rebelled against the Lord's appointed leadership. You recall how they complained and they were grumbling out of jealousy for the leadership positions of Moses and Aaron, and how the Lord caused the earth to open up and to swallow Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all the members of their households. And then, even after that happened, the congregation then began to grumble against Moses and Aaron as though they were the ones responsible for that judgment that fell upon those rebels. And that also then brought further judgment from the Lord in that he sent a plague into the congregation. And through that plague, 14,700 people were killed. And were it not for the intercession on behalf of Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation would have been wiped out. That's how much it displeased the Lord for those people to grumble and to complain against the leadership of the congregation, the leaders whom the Lord had appointed to the congregation. So we need to be careful, and we need to remember that we are to be respectful when it comes to the way in which we talk about our elders and our pastors, and we ought not to grumble against them or complain against the decisions that they make. Well, another reason the preacher gives as to why we should obey and submit to our leaders is that they watch out for our souls as those who must give account. In a similar way that parents are stewards of their children and therefore are accountable to the Lord as to how they raise their children, so are pastors and elders held accountable before the Lord for how they care for the flocks that they've been appointed to oversee. That's important. We will stand before the Lord one day and have to give an account. And this is one of the reasons we're to be careful in pursuing positions like being pastors and elders, is we will receive a more strict judgment for the things that we do. And so given that we're to that elders and pastors are to do their work as those who must give account, we should expect them then to do their work well as unto the Lord. And as they do their part, the sheep then ought to do their part in helping them to do their work with joy rather than with grief. And while it's true that we will all give an account before the Lord one day, there may also be another way in which we might understand this verse as it pertains to giving account before the Lord. There may also be the idea of a present day accounting that the preacher has in mind here in this passage. It may be that the preacher is encouraging the sheep to obey and to submit to their leaders because it would be unprofitable for them in the present time, as pastors and elders give a present day account before the Lord while they minister to them in the present. You see, the preacher goes on to tell them that it would be unprofitable for them if they cause their leaders grief as they try to be faithful in ministering to them. And it doesn't take much, folks, to see how that might be the case. When sheep cause their shepherds grief, it can cause the manner in which the shepherds do their work to not be as good as it ought to be, to not be as effective as it ought to be. When the sheep cause grief, their shepherds find it difficult to minister to them, right? It makes it hard for them to teach and to counsel them, and it even makes it difficult for them to pray for them. When the elders go before the Lord, and we ought to be doing this regularly, but when the elders go before the Lord and give an account to the Lord of what is going on in the current day and current time in the lives of the sheep, how the sheep interact with us is going to have an impact on how we do that work. And this is especially true when that grief is caused by a sheep going astray. Sheep doing things they ought not to be doing. We are all humans. And therefore, we're all subject to sin and to weaknesses, your pastors and elders included. And so when sheep cause their shepherds grief, it comes as no surprise that shepherds would prefer to not be around those difficult sheep. And if that happens, that's unprofitable for the sheep. It's unprofitable for the sheep. When the sheep cause grief, they're the ones, you see, who end up paying the price. And in this case, the price is not profiting from the ministry of their under-shepherds. And that's the third and the final reason the preacher gives as to why we should submit and obey our leaders. Submit to and obey our leaders. Look again at last part of verse 17. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. You see, the truth of the matter is, there are some sheep that are a joy to their pastors and elders, and there are others who tend to be a source of grief. And the preacher is telling us to not be the kind of sheep that cause our pastors and elders grief. Well, how do we cause them grief? Well, let me first of all say that sheep are not grievous or burdened by the mere fact that they have needs or problems. That is part of life. If pastors and elders are grieved by the mere fact that sheep have problems, well, then they are in the wrong calling. That's what we've been called to deal with, is to help people work through problems and meet their needs. We aren't grieved when you come to us for help or come to us for counsel, but rather the kinds of things that cause your pastors and elders grief are these things. For instance, when sheep live in rebellion to God's word, it causes your pastors and elders grief. When sheep don't walk with the Lord as they ought to walk with the Lord, it causes your pastors and elders grief. We get grieved when sheep live just like the world, when they go on living like the world, living in blatant sin, living in rebellion. That grieves the hearts of your pastors and elders. Your pastors and elders become grieved when you fail to seek counsel when you ought to seek counsel. I can't tell you how many times I have experienced this, when people fail to seek counsel before making really big decisions, and then after having made the wrong decision, a bad decision, they then come to their pastors and elders to ask for what they should have done, how they should have looked at the matter. Don't do that. If you get a big decision and you really are struggling with making that decision, ask your elders and pastors for help. Ask them for some insight from the scriptures to help you make these decisions in a right way. The other thing is how many times I've found people struggling with marital problems, and then they only come to their pastors after their marriage is on the brink of divorce. Surely your problems existed long before coming to that point. Why wouldn't you go to your pastors and elders and seek their help and seek their counsel? It grieves our heart when we come to that point in your marriage to then have to try to play survival mode and just do whatever we can just to keep the ship afloat. Don't wait so long to seek the counsel and the help of your pastors and elders. And on the other hand, we're also grieved when people do come to us for counsel and they don't follow through with the counsel they've been given, which then usually ends up causing them even more trouble, which then leads them to have the need for more counsel. And so it's a vicious circle. They keep having problems and they keep needing counsel and they keep not heeding the counsel. And so their lives are just a constant mess. We also cause our shepherds and elders grief by not being faithful to sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God as conscionable hearers. We cause them grief when we miss worship without good reason. And why is that the case? Well, it's the case because to miss worship is to miss an opportunity to be under the Word of God and to hear the voice of our Good Shepherd, which is who the sheep ultimately need to hear. Ultimately, folks, you don't need to hear my voice or Pastor William's voice. Ultimately, what I hope you're coming to worship for is to hear the voice of your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, you need to hear his voice. That's the only voice that can give you the comfort that you need. You know, it might not be readily noticeable, but Pastor Williams and I actually set out to do quite a bit of counseling from this pulpit. As we preach through the various portions of God's Word, what we're trying to do, what we're attempting to do, is to instruct you in the ways of the Lord. We're attempting to provide you with teaching that you can apply yourselves to your own lives, that teaching that will prove to be a help to you in your walk with the Lord. And we're seeking to offer you wise counsel in how to address or to respond to the various things that you're experiencing in your everyday life. This is what we might call it preventive maintenance, is what we're trying to do here. We're trying to encourage you to think biblically so that you can take biblical principles and then make good decisions in your own life from day to day. You see, we're trying to equip all of you with what you need to be able to make wise decisions and to know how the Lord would have you to live and how the Lord would have you to worship. And so when we miss worship for no good reason, it grieves us. Because in doing so, you miss an opportunity to receive counsel and instruction from God's Word. You miss an opportunity to be nourished in the means of grace. And by the way, while it's great that we're able to offer CDs to those who are unable to make it, we shouldn't think that missing worship is no big deal because we could just get the CD and listen to the sermon later. Folks, there's much more. Here's the reason why that's the case. There's much more going on in worship than just a preacher preaching a sermon. To miss worship is to miss entering into the holy and special presence of the Lord on His holy day. It's to miss the opportunity to sing praise to the Lord with the rest of the redeemed, the rest of the flock. It's to miss an opportunity to pray together. It's to miss the opportunity to partake of the sacraments when they're administered. But it's also a missed opportunity to fellowship with your pastors, to fellowship with your elders, and to fellowship with the rest of the flock. You see, folks, there's only so many opportunities we have in this life to be in the company of one another. And for the pastors and elders to do their work well, we have to know the sheep. And one of the opportunities we're given to get to know you is here when we gather on the Lord's Day. So to miss this is a big deal. Now, of course, let me also say that there are times when, and it's understood, there are times when we just aren't able to make it to worship, right? There are times in God's providence when we simply cannot get out of our beds. We simply cannot get out of our homes. Or times when the weather is too bad for us to drive, or we're away on vacation, or some other reason. But those are okay reasons. I'm not talking about people who miss worship for those reasons. I'm talking about people who think it's no big deal. I can come to worship if I feel like it, or if I don't feel like it. I could take it or leave it. But when the Lord does providentially hinder us, what we do in those instances is we make the best of our situation. And we know and we trust the Lord is gracious and He's merciful, and He will meet our needs when we miss worship for those legitimate reasons. I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about the other times. Times when people miss worship for no good reason at all. When that happens, that can prove to be grievous to your pastors and elders. So as the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than be a source of grief and therefore not profit from the ministry of your pastors and elders, instead, pray that the Lord would make you a source of joy to those who watch out for your souls. And among the greatest ways you can be the greatest source of joy to your pastors and elders is by loving Jesus. Loving the Lord first and foremost. You will bring great joy and delight to your elders' hearts if you would but love Jesus as you ought. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, communing with them and fellowshipping with them, walking in his ways, seeking to glorify him in all that you do from day to day and in all of your relationships of life. This is a chief way that you will bring joy to your pastors and elders. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Grow in the Lord. And don't stop moving forward in your walk of sanctification with the Lord. Strive by his grace to walk in his ways. That will bring joy and delight to your pastors and elders. And indeed, many of you are a great source of joy to us regularly. And we are grateful for that. We are so grateful for the many ways in which the saints here, the sheep, are so kind and so generous and so encouraging to us in the work that we are doing. That also brings great joy and delight to us to know that you're receiving the ministry that is being offered to you from day to day. Well, as we close, I'd like to draw attention to just one more thing from this passage that you can do to be a source of joy for us and to us. You'll notice what the preacher says in verse 18. He says, pray for us. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner, he says. Pray for your pastors and elders. Make it a regular habit to pray for us. Pray that we would live honorably, as the passage says. Pray that the Lord would keep us from falling and failing. After all, every one of us is a sinner. And none of us is immune from falling into sin and falling in that kind of sin in terrible ways. We hear stories from time to time of men quitting the ministry because they've burnt out. We hear of men quitting the ministry because they are going through divorces, because ministry was so difficult and things ended up going wrong in their homes. We hear of men being defrocked from the ministry for all kinds of heinous sins that they fall into. And while those things are shocking to hear when they happen, we must realize that every man, every single one of us, is capable of falling in those same ways. It is but for the grace of God that your pastors and elders have not fallen in those ways. So please pray the Lord would strengthen us in his grace. Strengthen us in our service to you. Strengthen us with boldness and ability to faithfully proclaim his word. And humility, that we might be faithful servants to every single one of you. You know, when we consider the duties and the responsibilities that belong to us as pastors and elders, we can certainly understand why the Apostle Paul said what he did when he said, who is sufficient for these things? It is an overwhelming task that we've been called to do. And we are in great need of the Lord's help, that he would sustain us in this work that he's called us to do for you. So please pray. Please pray that the Lord would sustain us by his grace, that we might prove in the end to be a great blessing to each one of you. Pray that we would love all the sheep as we ought. Pray that we would follow in the steps of our good and chief shepherd of the sheep in caring for this flock, that we would have eyes open to recognize when a sheep is beginning to stray, and that God might grant us the grace to chase after the sheep, that we would know how to give good and wise and godly counsel, that we would interact with the sheep in such a way that the sheep are comfortable with us and know that we are approachable. Pray for all these things and whatever else the Lord might lay on your heart for us. Pray for us. We need your prayers. We covet your prayers. Let's pray.